Forecast for today, sunshine with a high close to 80. A two-vehicle crash in Racine last night at 17th Street and Taylor Avenue sent several people to the hospital, including at least two with some serious injuries. Police and fire units responding to what turned out to be a car and a truck that collided, from which one driver, a man in his 60s, was taken to Ascension All Saints Emergency with what was described as a scalping injury to the right side of his head. Also, a woman suffered head, neck, leg, and other injuries. Three city rescue squads and a paramedic unit from South Shore involved in that response. In Kenosha County, the southbound lanes of I-94 near Highway C were closed for almost 4 hours overnight into early this morning, in fact. A sheriff's deputy was chasing a vehicle for a traffic violation. That car went out of control and crashed into the median. The deputy wasn't hurt. The driver of the vehicle, though being pursued, did suffer injuries, the extent of which remain unknown. A second accident also resulted in minor injuries to the driver of that vehicle. The State Patrol was called in to handle the investigation. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, with help from the FBI, continuing to investigate that triple homicide at the Great Lakes Dragway on August 13th. Last night, members of the Kenosha clergy group, Congregations United to Serve Humanity, held a prayer vigil. It took place at Reverend Kathleen Gloff's Summers Community Church, not far from the racetrack.
Let us pledge to seek peace as best we are able. Let us pledge that the lives of David Watson, Khalid Howard and Derek Edwards will not be in vain. We give thanks to God for their lives. We pledge that we will live lives that honor all and not perpetuate violence.
Meanwhile, the FBI offering a $25,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the gunman. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee backs a last-minute petition from all the business and property owners along Eaton Lane from Rapids Drive to the cul-de-sac who do not want their street resurfaced next year, as was approved by the Common Council a few months ago. It's one of two border projects the city was planning to do with Mount Pleasant. Engineer John Rooney explaining this street has been put off about four times in his 17 years on the job.
The Common Council Committee can do whatever they like if you guys delete the project. That's fine. I don't know when we're going to get somebody to take up this project again or take the city seriously with doing it. I just want to caution you that it's an opportunity to do it. The village of Mount Pleasant may not be interested the next time we bring it up for public hearing. I can't guarantee you anything. And the disposition of the road really is going to boil down to doing it with your neighbor in Mount Pleasant, and you have the opportunity to do that.
Alderman Sandy Widener said, though, the property owners cited the assessment cost and the fact it's not a thoroughfare for their petition.
When the businesses tell us, the council or this committee, that not only is the cost horribly prohibitive to them because the amount of front footage they have and abutting property they have, but also the disruption to their business regardless of how accommodating the city can be, their plea should not fall on deaf ears because you don't like the messenger. We should be hearing their message.
Alderman John Tate II, who initially supported a receive and file motion to rescind the previous council action, he indicated the decision was not political in any way.
And while we empathize with the people who are petitioning, with the business owners, the assertion that we're doing this because there's a problem with the messenger that we have is insulting. This has nothing to do with the messenger. It has everything to do with the way we govern, what we feel is appropriate. But I'm not going to stand and allow those sorts of things to be suggested.
The committee ended up unanimously supporting a motion to rescind previous council approval to resurface Eaton Lane next year. That is something the full council will also have to decide next week. The Racine County District Attorney's Office charging 29-year-old Burlington resident Ashley McGraw with several drug allegations, including manufacture and delivery of heroin, as well as maintaining a drug trafficking place. The charges based on controlled buys using an informant. Court records show McGraw failed to make a court appearance yesterday, so an arrest warrant was issued by Court Commissioner Alice Rudebush. Local obituaries, Rafael Figueroa of Racine, at the age of 89, passed away on August the 28th at the Villa at Lincoln Park. Rafael employed for 18 years by Racine Unified. Funeral services coming up Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home. Friends and relatives can meet with the family Saturday from 9 a.m. until the time of the service. And Charlotte Barina of Racine, at the age of 90, passed away August the 24th at Ascension All Saints Hospital. A massive Christian burial to be celebrated Saturday morning at 10:30 at St. John Nepomuk Catholic Church on Green Street in Racine. Friends and relatives can meet up with the family Friday at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home starting at 5 p.m. and then again on Saturday at the church beginning at 9:30 in the morning. Kenosha Unified School District formally appealing the rulings by lower courts in favor of recent Tremper graduate Ash Whitaker over his use of bathrooms related to his transgender identity. The district filed a request to the High Court to consider the case, but a response may not come for several more months. Ronald Stadler is with the Milwaukee law firm who's representing the district, and he tells the Kenosha News this is an issue of national importance. In response, the California-based Transgender Law Center calls the district's challenge a waste of time and money and ill-conceived. Caledonia police at last report still seeking a woman for slashing her boyfriend on his arm during a verbal confrontation happened inside of a home in the 4900 block of Tanglewood Court. Fire department paramedics stopped the bleeding, stabilized the patient, took him into the Ascension All Saints emergency room. Circumstances of how it occurred still under investigation. The village of Mount Pleasant approached the Racine Water Utility about a water supply to land that could be the location for Foxconn's manufacturing campus. There was a closed session of the Racine Water Works Commission yesterday. Future infrastructure needs to support growth-related development was the listed agenda item. That was prior to an open session consideration of the agreement between the two parties for the utility to prepare a Lake Michigan diversion application to the DNR. BizTimes quoting General Manager Keith Haas is saying the diversion would involve close to 1,800 acres east of the interstate, south of Highway 11, north of Highway KR, part of the Des Plaines River watershed. Waukesha-based Rueckert & Mielke approved by the Waterworks panel to provide expertise related to the Foxconn project.
As negotiations continue between Racine County Economic Development Corporation and Foxconn, likely we will be tasked with coming up with answers to questions. And as we don't have a lot of engineering staff lying around ready to answer those questions, we have a proposal from Rueckert & Mielke to represent the Waterworks Commission and help us answer questions that may arise during negotiations or discussions.
Memorandum of Understanding, it was signed by the state and the company, calls for Wisconsin to help secure a minimum of 1,000 acres for the project. With the clock ticking toward what could be the decision within the next few weeks regarding Foxconn and that site, more government closed-door meetings at the local level. The Racine County Board, a committee of the whole, 5:30 this evening. The agenda for listing for about 45 minutes with just one item, the investment of public funds regarding competitive economic development opportunities in the village of Mount Pleasant. There will not be a return to open session afterward, and no comments as usual afterward. S.E. Johnson inviting the public to join exclusive tours of the new Frank Lloyd Wright exhibit and other attractions connected to the famed architect at its global headquarters in Racine free of charge between September the 16th and January 7th. The family company to partner with the Chicago Architectural Biennial to offer free bus tours from downtown in the Windy City. One major feature will be On the Wright Trail, the latest installment in the S.E. Johnson Gallery geared at Frank Lloyd Wright. SEJ to offer up 90-minute tours Thursdays through Sundays with registration required at reservations.sejohnson.com. Wisconsin's Coast Guard stations lending their support to victims of Hurricane Harvey. Personnel from the Milwaukee headquarters, along with Sheboygan, Sturgeon Bay, and Kenosha, sent down to Texas to aid the people affected by the flooding. Dozens of volunteers with the Wisconsin Red Cross, meanwhile, assigned duties as well down south. Meanwhile, former Wisconsin Badger, now Houston Texans star J.J. Watt, doing what he can to try to raise money to help the folks down there.
We just passed $4 million 48 hours ago. We set out to raise $200,000, and now we're over $4 million. So I've raised the goal to $5 million. I have no clue how big this thing can get, how much money we can raise.
Ucaring.com/JJ Watt, the site where donations are being taken. The Racine Unified School District to formally dedicate the new Real School location at the Sportsplex site in Sturtevant's Renaissance Business Park. There's a 4 p.m. ceremony to be followed by guided tours. Site has undergone remodeling work over the past several weeks. The Real School, part of the Career Pathway Program for grades 6 through 12, it'll work closely with Gateway Technical College's nearby S.C. Johnson IMET Center at the south end of Renaissance Business Park. Meanwhile, 7:30 tonight in the Hoods Creek Room, that's Building 2 at Racine Unified's Administrative Services Campus, the Board of Education will meet and review the state's proposed omnibus motion for an Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program and creation of a new school district with state oversight. The Joint Finance Committee recommending in the next two-year budget that RUSD get a one-year delay on that OSPP proposal. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee approves the recommendation of Illinois-based FMG Architects for a detailed study including financial options on the public safety building, which has housed the police and fire departments since the late 1960s. City purchasing agent Kathy Casper explaining that FGM has a solid track record with such projects.
We are not supposed to look at proximity and location when we're looking at the best candidate. So we do try to remove that from it. In my opinion, Oak Brook, Illinois isn't that much further away than Brookfield, Wisconsin. You know, I get it. I understand we want to do local and we want it, but there was nobody in Racine that actually provides this type of specificity with these public safety facilities.
While FGM was recommended over a Wisconsin company, Assistant DPW Commissioner Tom Eek pointed out, Rossi Construction on Phillips Avenue in Racine will be doing the cost analysis, the safety building a priority in what will be an analysis of all the police and fire department facilities. An upcoming event in the town of Burlington to highlight important ways of protecting waterways adjacent to farmland. The Watershed Protection Committee of Racine County will have what's being called a field day from 9 a.m. till noon, September 7th. It's to demonstrate the success and the benefits of protecting stream banks from erosion and installing grass buffers along rivers and streams. It'll take place in a field along the Hoosier Creek, just to the south of the Weiss Farm in the 4500 block of Highway J. The WPCR is local farmers' leading efforts on erosion control, water quality improvement, and providing information about conservation practices. A relatively short amount of time to go before the special election for mayor in Racine, the Racine branch of the NAACP, with the Racine Public Library and some other community groups, have now scheduled a series of community forums. The first, Saturday, September the 9th, at the George Bray Neighborhood Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The next will be on Tuesday, September 12th, at the Cesar Chavez Community Center on Douglas Avenue from 6 to 8 p.m. And then September 30th, another Saturday, a forum at the Dr. John Bryant Community Center from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the final forum is a Thursday, October the 12th, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Center from 6 until 8 p.m. The candidates at each of these will be answering questions, and there will be an opportunity to discuss their views on different issues. The primary to reduce the list of candidates from 6 down to 2 is set for September the 19th. The general election with just the two finalists will be held October 17th. And take note, the City of Racine Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services discounted ticket program will be coming to an end tomorrow. The tickets are available to many popular summer attractions through the Wisconsin Park and Recreation Association's summer ticket program. Places like the Milwaukee County Zoo, Mount Olympus, Noah's Ark at the Dells, and Six Flags Great America. Sale of the discounted tickets will be ending tomorrow. Most of the tickets, though, valid into September and longer. More information, contact the Park and Rec office in Racine, 262-636-9131. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.